Happy Friday, everybody. This is Rocky Schneider with Rocky's Downtown Hour. Lovely little Friday outside as we look ahead to a busy weekend downtown and even more beautiful weekend or week next week as we look ahead to summer. I see a 90-degree day in the forecast. So, of course, what that means is we need to look for some summer activities, plan our summer calendars, and we got a great show today to talk about the Island Park Swimming Pool. If you weren't there last year, we were probably one of the few. It was incredibly busy as the new Island Park pool opened up last year. It had about double the attendance as it did prior to reopening. And we're going to talk with the architects and the planners behind that at Zurberg Architects, along with the Fargo Park District later in the show. Talk about what they have going on this summer and what other projects they're working on around the community to improve our quality of life. We're pretty fortunate to have Island Park Pool and a lot of great pools around, but Island Park Pool has been a staple in my life, living near downtown my whole life, growing up there, rite of passage on the high dive, all those things. And now they have the Fly Time slide. And if you haven't checked it out, encourage everybody to find a time to get down there. I think it was the most visited pool last summer and probably will be again. I know for our splash pad at Broadway Square, we doing a little maintenance this weekend on it, but that should be open next week sometime as well as we get that ready to go. And we know now that school, I think, just finished yesterday in West Fargo. My kids in Fargo, I believe, have 8 school days left if our countdown calendar is right at home. And so once they're done, we know they come out all day, every day, and try to find something to do. And so keep them busy, give them something to learn and experience and enjoy our great city. Tomorrow, we have an all-ages event in downtown Fargo called the One Bite Challenge. We're very excited about. I'm sorry to say that it's sold out. We sold out almost immediately with our event. We have 30 restaurants signed up for it. I think it's the largest one-day restaurant event in the city of Fargo. And 500 tickets, 30 restaurants, old-fashioned crawl style. So it's like a pub crawl. You go from restaurant to restaurant, get one bite of food is all. So every restaurant, every chef comes up with, you know, if you could only have one bite of food, kind of that magic question, one bite of food, where would you go? What would you have? And you get to decide. And then you get to judge. And so we'll have a judges award. We'll have a best taste award, best presentation, best overall. And then, so everyone gets to vote. And then for voting, too, thanks to Deb Fredrickson, who donated a bunch of downtown Fargo gift cards, we're going to give away over $2,000 worth of gift cards at the event as well, just for showing up. Taking part, participating, voting, being a part of our community. You know, this week, there's a little event called Startup Brew. If you've never been to Startup Brew in downtown Fargo, it's a free event on Wednesday morning. Wednesday mornings in the Black Building that Emerging Prairie puts on. It's about 100 people. You hear from a couple entrepreneurs every week, kind of their stories, their struggles, how they persevered. And I think it's, you know, about the best hour of the week for anybody to attend. It's just long enough, you know, to get a little emotional stimulation, feel good, learn something, meet some people, but also it's not too long. It's not a big commitment. And so I encourage anybody to go to that if you haven't. But this week, two amazing companies. We had Bushel there, who's a growing tech company and moving into the Black Building as they continue to grow and expand here. Over $100 million in capital raised through that company. It was pretty cool. And then we also had Mark Bjornstedt from Drekker and Bruhalla in to talk, and it was great. But one thing Mark said is Fargo, as he travels around the world now to sell Drekker beer, he notices Fargo has amazing restaurants. And I don't think we appreciated enough locally how great it is to have local restaurants, local culinary experts that want to, you know, do something different than the norm, be different than other communities. And as he travels around and people travel here to visit him and his company, you know, they all express that, wow, you guys have a lot of unique restaurants. And downtown Fargo isn't the only place in town to have that, but we have a lot of them. Of our 30 restaurants, I think almost all of them are, you know, locally owned, not chains, not drive-thrus, but locally owned restaurants. And it gives us something different. It makes us different than everywhere else, gives us something unique to claim as our own. And so support one another, support your neighbors. Go find a local restaurant. Always a good plan if you're considering where to go out. So appreciate that. We have another sort of interesting thing happening today that you'll start to notice. There is going to be a delivery this afternoon to Broadway Square right on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Broadway. You'll notice it's a giant statue of a raccoon. And it probably won't make a lot of sense, but as you drive by it, there'll be a sign next to it that says, "Who am I? Help name this downtown legend." And more information will drop on that over the coming weeks. But there'll be a new sort of statue, a piece of art in downtown Fargo, a big, happy, friendly, cute and cuddly raccoon that you can come and take a picture of and learn more about its history and its purpose in downtown Fargo. So look for that as you make your way downtown and ask questions. Check out the website it links to, and you'll see a lot of fun things down there. We also have some, you know, this holiday on Monday. And so the city commission that's usually on Mondays will be on Tuesday next week. But it's a very significant city commission meeting. You know, we're getting down, I think, to last three meetings of, you know, at least two of the three, maybe three people on the commission. Mayor Mahoney will be, I think it's just countdown is three meetings. And of course, with Commissioner Kolpak and Papcorn and Turnberg all running for mayor, we know they all won't be back. Commissioner Turnberg will be back if she's not successful. But Commissioner Papcorn and Kolpak will not be back if they're not successful for mayor. So we're going to have a number of changes. So these meetings are all pretty critical for their legacies and the future of Fargo. But this one on Tuesday is especially important because there's two items that impact the community and how downtown Fargo has its place in that community. One I'm really excited about is an update on the FM Science Museum. If you haven't looked at the Science Museum or looked at their work they're planning, I think they're planning to raise like $70 million, which is a fairly significant amount of money. And they're like $11 million raised. So it's, you know, they're not there yet, but that's not jump change either. And they are looking at utilizing the Mid-America site. If you're not familiar with that, it was an old steel manufacturing site right in between Fargo and Moorhead, right along the river. I like to say it's really where Fargo was founded. It's the first sort of location nearest the central between Fargo and Moorhead, right between the bridges, between the railroad tracks. It's really at the center of our whole early community. It was bought out as part of the flood diversion project to make way for flood protection. But of course, 100 years of steel manufacturing there that needs some environmental work to be done. So Senator Hoven had a good discussion with the EPA administrator about getting some brownfield grant funds, as they've done on the Lashquitz high-rise project that's now up and running as well this summer, and rebuilt affordable housing there. So just down the street from that is a site that Fargo needs to do something with. It's a beautiful site right along the riverfront, and the Science Museum is interested in it. But also on the agenda is the convention center, as we've talked about on this show. They are potentially making a decision on the convention center. They had a brown bag yesterday that's on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's really down to two sites. There is a site near Brujala and a site kind of rehabbing the Civic Center downtown. Both very viable. I mean, I watched the meeting on Thursday, and I'm like, okay, the assumptions are basically the same. They'd probably argue a lot of nuances and financial differences, but they have the same assumptions going in and the same, you know, basic events happening at there. So there's some nuanced differences, but it comes down to a decision on where does the city commission want it. They got to pick a location. They have to make a decision. This is the commission that's been a part of this for the last couple of years. They're the ones that should make it, and I think everyone's pushing them to make it. It's not an easy decision, I'm sure. It's a big, probably their last big decision for a lot of them or a few of them. And so on Tuesday, they might make that decision on which one to go forward with, or they might wait a couple weeks. I don't think anything new is going to come out, is my opinion. I think waiting 2 weeks, sure, you always have more information. You can maybe be a little more certain where your vote is or get some more input. But this has been a long process. There's been a lot of input, and I don't think anything's substantially going to change. I think both local companies involved are, you know, high quality companies. They have good national partners. It really comes down to what are the differences, and it's location's the biggest difference. So city commission, if you want to let them know how your feelings on it, please write to them. They're looking for that input, and this might be your last chance. So take a look at the agenda, show up at 5 o'clock on Tuesday at the city hall if you want to be part of it as well. Otherwise, send a note to your favorite commissioner, to the mayor, to all of them. Encourage you all to do that as we get ready for that big decision. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Zurberg Architects and the Fargo Park District about the Island Park pool and what's going on this summer. More when we get back. Welcome back to Rocky's Downtown Hour. We have a number of guests in studio here from Zurberg Architecture, which is a great spot in downtown Fargo. We're happy to have them, and they've done a lot of big projects, but we're specifically getting ready for summer, so we're going to talk about the Island Park pool. So with Zurberg, we have Tony Wolf and Brett Rathbone, along with Isabel Sinkler from the Fargo Park District, to talk about the opening and the development of the Island Park pool. Thanks for coming in studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so okay, so Zurberg Architect, give us some background. Who is Zurberg, and what do you do?
Sure. Yeah, we're an architecture firm with a sister company, Gertz Construction Services. We were started in 2001, so we're coming up on our 25th anniversary here in June. And we work a lot of public projects like the Island Park Pool. We have done a lot of schools and religious architecture throughout town. So we've got a lot of big staple projects that people would recognize.
I always wonder with, you know, consulting firms or design firms, everything, how do you, you know, go after making an income versus trying to do projects that you think are cool and that you, you know, the ones that you go to school for thinking, I'm going to design this big, cool project, then you end up designing a box somewhere, you know, or something like that. So how do you stay true to your roots and go after projects that help our community like this?
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, obviously any company, the object is to turn a dollar. But, you know, these projects that we work on are great community projects, and that's why we like working on them, is because we can unite the community around a vision and get the users inspired to help give us some inspiration on what that building might look like.
Okay, so the Island Park Pool opens June 1st. This is the second year of the rehabbed Island Park Pool. Isabel, what's your role with the Fargo Park District?
I am the Aquatics and Recreation Supervisor, so I oversee all the hiring of the lifeguards operations day-to-day and just make sure that the community is having fun at the pools and that it stays safe.
So I bet you learned an awful lot last year. With a new pool, I'm sure like all sorts of things you thought were going to work some one way, worked
so
a totally
much.
Different way.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, I would just say that it's super fun, super, super, super rewarding to see all the kids coming and having fun in the summer. It's a place where they can go and see people from school where they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you, and they see them at the pool, or people from their summer sports and stuff. So it was definitely a place at Island that there's tons of people there, super fun, always happy, smiling.
No, I love how you mentioned that, because I think people talk about going with their families to the pool, but I remember as a kid, like that's where you hung out in the summer, because
yes.
That's where you got to see your friends,
yes.
Where you don't all exchange phone numbers, you know, or you don't have cell phones because you're too young.
Exactly.
All those things. So it's
yep.
Like if you want to randomly run into somebody,
yep.
It's your social life.
Yes.
It's like
yeah.
A mall.
Yep.
It's fun. But I thought one of the cool things you had last summer was was it like the first ever outdoor high school meet or something
yes.
Like that?
Yeah, that was super fun. That was the end of August girls swim team meet. So we hosted, I think it was North and South together, and super fun doing it again this year. And then FM Gators, again, will host a huge swim meet this summer too.
And so Island Park Pool, it was closed for 2 years. So it was closed in what, 23 and 24? Mm-hmm. And I think we felt that downtown. I mean, that's a lot of people. It was, you know, 30 to 40,000 visitors every summer. And when that was gone, it's like, that's a lot of families not coming down for lunch or ice cream afterwards, or
yes.
Parents running errands in between. But this last summer, it was back.
Mm-hmm.
And you had 60 to 70,000 people there. And
yes.
It was the busiest pool in the city.
Yes. Oh, yeah, by far. Super, super fun to hear, too. We'd have Rhombus guys call us and they're like, hey, we just want to let you know that we had so many people come and eat pizza when the pool was open. Like, we saw an influx of attendance at our place. So it's cool to just see that the people aren't just coming downtown just to go to the pool, but they're using the shops and eating, kind of making a day trip of coming to Island Park Pool.
So how do you plan for that? Is it a one-time summer, everyone to try the new place, or do you expect it to be just as busy or even busier now that people know about it?
I don't really expect to see a decrease this year, just because last year was so busy and so crazy, and we opened, you know, 2 weeks later than our other pools. So I think it'll still be busy, but I think more people will know what the amenities that are there and the times. We also changed the hours from 12 to 7, so it's a whole day. You don't have to leave and come back. So if you want to stay the whole day, enjoy the pool. They can leave and come and don't have to pay extra. So.
You know, one thing, so I love Island Park. I grew up a couple blocks from there. And so I got married in the gazebo, and
oh, yeah.
I taught tennis at Island Park in high school and worked at the dike right across uh-huh. the street. So I love Island Park. It's one of my favorite places. Got a lot of nostalgia for a lot of generations. Mm-hmm. And the coolest part is that this pool didn't sort of wipe out the old pool or all the mm-hmm. history. So how did you take what was there and remake the pool and try to figure out, okay, how do we, you know, harken back to the old thing, but still put in a fly time slide or the lazy river, all these type of things to add a modern flair?
Yeah, I think we went through a series of meetings with the community, and what we were hearing is that they love the existing pools. They definitely wanted to keep the lap swimming. We heard that from not only the Gators, but there's adults who swim in the mornings as well, just lap swim. So we heard that, and also just make this something different that's not represented at all the other pools that you know, maybe gets a little more excitement for some of the older teenagers. And so that's where the 5 meter board and the fly time slide come into play. And the lazy river, really, it's kind of creating amenities for the entire family.
So, Tony, the real question is, have you done the fly time slide?
I did not do it last year, but my kids love it.
Yeah. I feel like you guys should have had a private, like, designer time to go in there with all the construction workers and stuff and just have your play time.
Yeah, there was, they did test it, you know, with some of the contractors and, okay, and park members. But, it was kind of fun to watch that the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it really is one of those places you make memories. I mean, I remember jumping off the high dive for the first time. It's such a rite of passage. You walk up that ladder and you get scared and you turn around and you realize, like, I can't go back down the ladder because there's like four other kids on it.
Right.
You're like, there's one way down.
I got to do it.
You know?
Yeah.
So I assume it's the same with the fly time slide. Once you get up there, you've already signed the waiver.
You waited in line.
Yep, you waited in line.
I got to go. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so what are you planning for this summer? Is it same, or do you have any different events, or what are people looking forward to?
Last year we tried an adult-only swim night. That was a huge hit. Community loved that. So this year we're actually implementing that. It'll start this third Wednesday, I believe, in June, and go every other Wednesday for four times. So we're excited to bring that back. We also have tot time. That's in the morning. Kids can come. It's a lot quieter, not as busy. They can enjoy the water, get used to the water. We have cardio club and lap swim. That's in the mornings as well. And then an evening lap swim at night for those that can't attend during the day.
So how do you design a pool that has so many different uses? I know, you know, I'm sure there's parents that just want to go and lay in the sun while their kid is safe in the pool so you can still see them. Or maybe they want to go off the high dive while your kid's in the kid's pool. Or, you know, how do you build that so that you have a space for everybody, but you don't have to divide them up either?
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of comes back to just tying in all those different uses. Proximity is a huge thing. You know, having deck space in the shade cabanas adjacent to the pool deck so that parents feel comfortable sitting there if they want to, and their kids are safe, knowing that the Fargo Parks has staffed that pool adequately to make sure that everybody can remain safe. You know, And one of the other big features that we helped to engage, I guess, is that lap swimming pool. We pulled up the center area so that it's only 4 feet deep, and really that allows for area where families and kids, and I mean, you'd see groups of teenagers just hanging out in the water. You know, I think that's just creating all those different spaces where maybe they don't want to be so active, but they just want to stand in water and hang out with their family. I think that was a huge success.
It's kind of that lake feel almost, where you don't have to be doing anything. You just want to be in the water and cool down and
exactly,
hang out.
And I think you guys did a great job with that old structure behind there, allowing that to be usable space. Before it was just a facade. Beautiful. People love it. But now it's actually useful. People can go up to the deck and sit there and watch the pool. So that was super awesome.
Okay, so for people that haven't been there, give like the logistics. Okay, it's downtown First Avenue South. What's it cost? Do they have locker rooms? All those type of things if you want to go to the pool for the first time.
First time daily attendance, there's a youth and adult rate. And then once you get in, there's locker rooms that you can use. There's lockers that you can use otherwise. First come, first serve on the chairs. If you need to bring your own chair, more than happy to, as long as it's not in the space of if we needed medical assistance. But just come in and enjoy the pool.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the pool and its hours and the design and other community projects that Zurberg is working on. And I feel like hey, welcome back to Rocky's Downtown Hour. We're just chatting away here about the upcoming summer and the Island Park pool. If you haven't been there, it reopened last summer and it beautifully designed with Zurberg Architects, our premier architecture office in downtown Fargo. And they are in studio with us today. So when does the open, Isabel? When does the pool open this summer?
Yeah, Island Park pool opened June 1st, 12 to 7. That's all we're going to be open for the first week. And then June 8th, all pools will open. And then the rest of the programs will start at Island, June 8th.
So June 1st. That means if you're a parent of a Fargo school, tell them it doesn't open until June 5th.
Yeah, right. They're still in school.
It opens before Fargo schools gets done.
Yeah.
But if you're a West Fargo student, it's the best time to go to the pool is that week because it'll probably be,
Yeah, we've been asked to open it early, so we're trying.
No, and you're looking at the weather, I couldn't imagine a better time to open it. So right. You timed that very, very well. And so, Zurbrugg, how did you get selected for this? Was this one you really sought after because it was so close to home?
Yeah, we love working with the Park District. And again, it's those community projects that we really strive to go after and help to create a vision for our community.
Okay, so Brett, walk us through the Island Park pool as you see it. When you looked at it from a design side, when someone comes in there, there's lots of options.
Yeah. So you walk into...
Hold on 1 second. We'll get your mic going here. Get in nice and close. All right, try again.
All right, so you walk into the historic building. And are we good?
Look at that mic on. Try again.
All right, you walk into the historic building. I'm hearing myself in my headset.
So go really close.
You walk into the historic building, and changing area, ticket area, all the amenities that you need to get ready for the pool are in there, showers, locker rooms. Then you walk out onto the pool deck itself. You're greeted with a big row of cool things to do. You've got the slide tower that has a fly time slide, the tube slide, the zero entry pool with the kids area is just off to the left on the south side. On the back side, you got a bunch of great seating areas to hang out in the pool. The lazy river is beyond that. And then on the right, you've got the competition pool and the diving boards. And it's diving platforms at that point. So there's a lot to see when you walk in there.
So do you have to do a lot of testing on the fly time slide? For those that don't know, the fly time slide is when you go way up the ladder, and it basically is, as you expect, it's a big kind of, it looks like an Olympic, ski jump almost, right? And then you land in the pool. But I assume there's a lot of wrong ways to design that.
Yeah, that was something we had some coordination with the manufacturer of that, and they had some people out in bathing suits, Tony's earlier point, to do testing, which consisted of going down it and making sure the water flow was accurate so you didn't go too far or too little. Mm-hmm. So
now it looks like fun. I know I've been up in the Bell Bank Tower and looking down as kids are going off, and it's like the best view of it, and everyone's having a good time making, funny gestures and positions as they jump off and trying not to belly flop. And
it's a fun thing to watch.
It's a good time. You still have to sign the waiver to go on it?
Sure do.
Just in case?
Mm-hmm. Just in case. Hopefully nothing happens.
Is there an age limit, height limit?
A height limit, 48 inches. That's for both slides.
That's fun. And then the lazy river too.
Yeah. Lazy river anyone can enjoy.
Okay. So how do you create a pool though that, I think you mentioned it earlier, but maybe just to describe. So there is a competitive lap swim there too that you can use for meets, mm-hmm. but that's also open during sort of general swim mm-hmm. times as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does that work when it's for both? Because I feel like that's how all pools were. I mean, it was just a rectangle when I was there and it was fun. You had to kind of make your own creativity. Now kids are lazy and they have to make it creative for them, I think, but you can use it still creatively.
Yeah. So again, we've got that 50-meter pool, that's just a huge body of water. And trying to think about, in design, we were thinking about, okay, how can we engage this pool so it's not just a big open body of water while it's the open swim time. So we took, maybe a third of that, and that's the plunge area for the water slide, the fly time slide. That's the area where you're diving off the diving boards. It's about 15 feet deep. It's kind of the deep end of the pool. In the center, we raise that up. It's about 4 feet deep. That's kind of your hangout zone that we talked about earlier. And then on the far side, on the east side, we left a significant portion down at that 7-foot depth so that the lap swimmers can still dive in off of their starting blocks. And that also just provides a little bit of deep water that if people want to swim over there and, do some different activities, they can do more floating on that end of the pool as well. And we also have the short course that you mentioned for lap swimming goes the opposite direction of the 50-meter course. So there's an option, too, where a couple of lanes could stay open on that deep end for just lap swimming during the middle of the day.
Isabel, give us one more rundown of how much it costs and when it opens. And if I assume you have a capacity, and probably last summer you were at capacity a lot, do you recommend, is there a way you can tell if it's full before you go, or do you go and wait in line? Is it worth waiting? How does all those things work?
Yeah, we, hour change, 12 to 7. That's open swim, morning again, tot time and lap swim. And evening will be evening lap swim. There's a adult and youth rate, so I believe it's $10.50 for an adult and $10.25 for a youth. And then those might be different, but anyways. And then once you get in, you're in Our capacity is 1,000. So we don't typically reach out unless it's a free day or it's 95 and super, super hot and sunny. Otherwise, for the most part, we'll get everybody in. As long as one person leaves, their spot's not automatically there for them to come back. So once people exit, then we just let more people come in. And we didn't have many issues, again, just the free day when the pool is open to everybody. So
this was designed by Zurberg Architects. Where else can we see Zurberg's work in the community?
Yeah, we've done a lot of schools. The New Moorhead High School was one of our most recent projects here that's wrapping up this year. We've been down at Davies High School. We've done a couple of middle schools at Liberty and Carl Ben here in town. We also do, like I said, a lot of religious architecture with Hope Lutheran South. We also did St. Anne and Joachim Catholic Church and Holy Cross Catholic Church. So, and a large variety of other projects around town, too, with commercial.
What are you working on next? What's your next big thing?
Yeah, we're excited about the new Hope West campus down in Southwest Fargo. We're working up at UND on an addition to their new medical school building that's going to bring in their nursing and other allied professions, health professions. And then also, what was the third one there we're going to mention? Just some other community projects, that we're working on down in Breckenridge as well. The new high school, it's a renovation of their existing high school and bringing in their elementary school to make a K-12 school.
So, if you're a business and you're looking to do an upgrade, do you send something out? Like, I know for the public procurement process, they probably send it out to everybody. It's open to everybody, but you're also just working privately as well, right? If somebody wants to just approach you and
for sure,
be a client, they just give you a call?
Yeah, you reach out to us.
What's the website?
Zurberg Architects.com.
And then you also have a construction wing as well. So you don't have to design and build, but you can do both.
Correct. Yeah. Kurtz Construction Services. We've done a lot of design build. It's a kind of a one-stop shop. You can come to us and we'll get it done from the early stages of the design through turnover.
Okay, Brett, tough question. What do you want to design that you haven't gotten to yet? What in our community do you say? Like, do you see a piece of property or see a building or a location and be like, you know what we need here?
That is a great question. I don't have a great answer for that right now. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in the region, though, and it's just been a thrill to be involved in these projects in my community, though.
Did you go to school here?
Yeah, I went to NDSU.
Nice to have the NDSU architecture program in downtown Fargo.
It
makes for easier hiring, I assume, to have a local school nearby as well and a lot of partnerships. And so we always like to see that. But I always think when people go through architecture school, like we saw the article in the forum about somebody dreaming up a water feature near City Hall. And it's like students have all these unconstrained ideas. And then you get in the real world and it's like, oh, you have a budget, and site limitations, all these things.
There's a little bit of that.
But I assume it's fun to work on things like the Island Park Pool where you get to do some unique things you don't get to do every day.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's been a pleasure to help bring that to the community.
And, I mean, it was overwhelmingly positive. I didn't hear anybody. I mean, it was full. It stayed full. People are excited for it again. And I think it's a great project. I'm happy it stayed at Island Park mm-hmm. as well and incorporated the old architecture. I think it's a good feature.
Yeah.
I like to claim it's downtown. It's close enough.
It is. It's downtown. We call it downtown.
I know. Sometimes the neighborhood claims Island Park, and I'm like, no, Island Park's downtown.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I think we looked at several options within Island Park, and I think ultimately where it landed in that corner, it's kind of that historic location. It just really felt like that was the right fit. It's close to downtown. It's definitely walkable from mm-hmm. businesses downtown, and keeping it on that end just helped preserve that history.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Rhombus, guys, there's a lot of places to walk to. It's easy to mm-hmm. eat. You walk down Broadway if you want easy parking right there.
Right.
Do you do any coordination with the Y if people don't know where the Island Park Pool is? It's on the same block as the Y.
We've said that. Normally we just say, go downtown, you'll see it. At downtown, you'll find it.
Yeah. Okay, so my favorite question to ask guests is, I always try to say, you guys are all spend time downtown. Give some love to somebody else downtown that you're not connected to, financially. That just like, maybe it's a place you like to eat, place you like to go and read or whatever. It's something cool happening that you go to personally.
I love going to Prairie Petals downtown. If you ever need to get flowers, they do absolutely beautiful bouquets.
All right. Prairie Petals on the 200 block of Broadway.
Bingo.
Perfect.
I'm a huge fan of Little Brothers. That's my go-to spot downtown.
Okay, I just have to say, because I love Little Brother, they have the best chicken wings in town, and I really want to do a chicken wing competition because I would hold them up as the best chicken wing. And that is their one bite for tomorrow, is a chicken wing?
Ooh.
I'd be happy to be a taste tester with you.
It's good, yeah.
Mine's Blackbird Pizza. Nice. Love Blackbird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do great work. I went to one of their themed events they had at Brewhalla where they actually made Middle Eastern food. The owner did from Blackbird, and it was amazing.
Oh, I bet.
So it's more than wood-fired pizza.
So good.
Yeah. I don't know. There's always great places downtown. I've also learned not to ask people their favorite. Like, I was going to ask you your favorite project you've worked on, but then everybody freezes, and it's like, you can't pick a favorite. That means something's not your
not
favorite.
My joke is it's always the last one you worked on because it's most recent in your mind.
Yeah, that's probably true. Isabel, if people are still looking for jobs at the Park District, are you still hiring at the pool or are you filled up already?
We, first time ever, we are full, which is crazy. That's never happened before. So super awesome and fortunate to be able to have that. And I just think the public presence of how big Island was last year helped that.
How many employees do you have at the Island Park pool?
Just at Island alone, we have about 60 to 70. Wow. And then all five pools total, we're sitting around 175 to 190 lifeguards and cashiers. So very
safe.
Yeah, very
qualified
safe.
Lifeguards.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They do weekly trainings. They're mandatory. And then if we see a flaw, we will work on that. And super safe. We'll be great.
No Snicker bars in the pool.
Yeah.
Okay, June 1st. Everybody plan your calendars. June 1st, the Island Park pool opens in downtown Fargo. Check it out if you haven't. Plan ahead. Look for the weather and check it out. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Good work, everybody, working on it. And I'm excited to see it open. Hopefully, it's even busier this year.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about food because in June, it's the Downtown Burger Royale. And we have a number of restaurants signed up to do Burger Challenge. So we're going to talk with Dan Altenberg from H2M Brand House when we get back. All right. We're back with Rocky's Downtown Hour. We have Dan Altenberg from H2M Brand House in the studio. Dan, welcome to the show. You know, this is one of my favorite topics because we get to talk about food, and the month of June is all about burgers in downtown Fargo.
It is. We've made June the Burger Royale month, and we're on our fourth year of this beautiful contest that we put on.
And so tell us if people have never heard of the Downtown Fargo Burger Royale. What is it?
The Downtown Fargo Burger Royale is basically a burger battle. We bring all the restaurants together that are in a certain radius of downtown because we're trying to draw people down. And it's a relatively slow month, June, in Fargo Marty, because everybody's doing the lake transition and there's graduations going on. But yeah, we put it together 4 years ago just to have fun with it. We've always, my agency has always done things downtown. I've been in capacity downtown for about 30 years. We used to do the movie Fargo against the side of the Radisson on the north side. We did that for a few years, and then we did a music event for many years, drawing people downtown. And they're like, okay, what else can we do that's not fighting the weather? And so we came up with how about a burger battle, and we really concentrated downtown to just kind of keep it in focus.
And so I think there are 16 restaurants involved?
We have 16 this year, and some of them are looking outstanding right now. I'm excited.
And so not like our event tomorrow, you can actually spend the whole month eating burgers.
Yeah, you can have the same one 30 times, you know. We want people to be able to sample as many. Like, we want it to be a group event. Go out with your friends. Hit like three joints in like one night and sample a burger. And then you go online. Every restaurant has a table tent or these little business cards, these voting cards. And you just scan a QR code and there's five categories. You vote on the patty, the bun, the creativity, toppings, and customer service.
Yeah. And what we like to do as an office is we went out with four of us and then we cut it in fours.
Right.
Then you could have two places, three places.
That's what we want to do.
Yep. Whatever you want to do, because not every burger's for everybody.
Right.
But they're all fun.
But have the discussion and have the debate about how did you feel about it. Then you go on to the next one and then you rank that. And it's kind of, it's meant to be a fun activity, but yet at the same time, draw business downtown.
You know, I went to Sons of Norway this week, which was a past winner.
Yes.
And they have their burger on the menu. I don't think it was on the menu previously, was it?
I think we have a handful of restaurants that their featured burger that they had in the Burger Royale has become a menu item. And the Sons of Norway is a prime example of that. They won the second year. The first year was Mezzaluna. Second year was Sons of Norway. Third year, 84 Steakhouse in Radisson Blue.
Oh, yeah.
That had a smoked peaches burger, which was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, there are some that are more basic, you know, classic, maybe not basic, classic, and then there's some that really go out there.
Yeah, and I usually tell my friends and people that ask me, what do you like the best? I go, there are the traditional ones, like a double smash, but if it's cooked with perfection and love, those can win just as much, you know, as the ones that are really trying to be creative. One of the ones I did like, was it last year or 2 years ago, Blarney had a peanut butter and banana burger, and that was interesting to some, and it was awesome to me. So, you know, it's fun to see where the restaurants really dive in, and they've all expected it now. So we're on our fourth year, and I start gathering all the information like in December. Now, who's in again? And we start gathering information, but it still comes down to last minute. Like, my staff has been kicking butt, getting the website updated and all that, and trying to get the burgers out there. And we're relaunching. Then this year, we have a kickoff event at the Fargo Theater, June 1st. Come there from 11 o'clock to 1:30. That's a Monday. That's a kickoff, the Burger Royale, because it's a whole month of June. But that'll be our kickoff, where we have these passports this year where you try them all. You know, and you get a sticker at the restaurant to put on your passport. And if you fill it all out, turn it into us, you get the famous, soon-to-be-coveted Burger Royale T-shirt. But you'll get that for free if you fill out your passport and try out all the burgers. But it's going to be fun because we're showing the Bob's Burger movie. Yeah. On that Monday, and it's free screening. Come in, sit down for like 15 minutes, take in Bob's, get your passport, or heck, come in and take a break on a Monday and watch the whole thing, because it's an awesome movie, one of my favorites. I'm a Bob's Burger fan.
And you can get your passport anytime after that.
Yes,
right?
And then we'll have the passports at all the restaurants, and then we'll have posters in all the restaurants, like, this is a battleground for the Burger Royale, and pick up your passport at all the restaurants.
Yeah. And so the website, downtownfargoburgerroyale.com. You always do a lot of fun with this. That's what I like about it. It's quirky, a little weird. You have a good time. One year we had the wrestling match to introduce it.
We did. We had a music video. We've set up that wrestling ring on Broadway Square, and that was the kickoff of that year's. We had that music video. That was great. And then the previous year we had KFAN from Minneapolis came in, and they broadcasted live from Beer and Fish, and that kicked off that year's Burger Royale. This year we're doing the Fargo Theater and Bob's Burger movie. I don't know what we'll do next year. It's all kind of flying by the seat of our pants to a certain degree, because we do have a business. We're trying to do work. So we fit this in a little bit.
You know, and honestly, if you go to the website, Downtown Fargo Burger Royale, it's almost like food porn as you're scrolling
through,
because you have great pictures of all the burgers.
Yes.
And you're going to want to leave.
I got to call out Amanda, who she's our art director. And that just got updated with all the burgers this morning. And it is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm drooling now. And fun names like Don't Stop Brie Leaving with Brie Cheese.
Yeah. Look at
Drawing
Rooms looks interesting, because Taylor's come up with a concoction where it's a burger that's in half. And I don't want to say it wrong, but it's some sort of cream that it's sitting in. Is it a cheese cream or whatever? But you dip it in there. I'm excited to try that one.
Yeah.
And I really got to call out Side Street has been, they've always been excited. They've always been a participant, and they always deliver an awesome burger. So Dave really gets excited to be involved with it.
A wonton pickle burger. That sounds delicious.
Yes.
A banh mi burger. So some creativity. I like Rosewild has like a cherry in the haystack. I'll give a shout out to Rosewild. They give a portion of all their burger sales to Fargo Public Schools. And I think they've raised over $20,000 to pay off school lunch debt.
Awesome.
I think they've done it at 3 or 4 schools now and paid off all the school lunch debt. And I don't think they get the appreciation they should for that, because that's amazing they do that. So get a burger anytime and help out the schools.
That's all year round.
That's all year round.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So nice. But then our sponsors are North Dakota Beef helps us out. There's a ton of work that goes into this thing, but we have two major sponsors that help us actually get the word out and the advertising. So North Dakota Beef is involved, as well as Haybuster. They're out of Jamestown. They actually develop manufacturing equipment for breaking down hay for the cows. So the cows eat good stuff, and then they become beef.
A quick wrap up. There's no fee to attend this. You go down and buy a burger. You can have one. You can have 16 locations. It's just really kind of a fun thing. Go down and vote. It's fun to put on your Gordon Ramsay hat.
Creative. The kickoff event on Monday, June 1st, with the Bob's Burger, that's a free admission. Just come down. You have to pay for your popcorn and everything. But come in and sit in the Fargo Theater, get your passport, chill out. It's a Monday. Nobody wants to work on Monday. Come see a movie.
So come down Monday. Bring your teams. It's a good bonding experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
newly renovated Fargo Theater, 100 years old.
Yeah, and we've got some burger ambassadors this year. We didn't do that before. So Rocky, you're a burger ambassador.
Yes.
And then we got Rick Guion as a burger ambassador. And then we've got a local influencer. I forget his name, but he does a lot of reviews of foods. So we got three guys that are going to be out there just putting the word out there about the Burger Royale.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, one last thing. Give some love out to something else going on downtown that you're a fan of, that you're not connected to.
Oh, that I'm not connected to. There's a lot of things going on downtown. There's a lot of music that's happening. A lot of live music is coming in the last month. The Aquarium is bringing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of music that's coming into the – I'm a fan of music, so I try to attend as much as I can. The main floor of Dempsey's, as well as the Aquarium, as well as the Sanctuary. If you like music, go online, check it out. There's so many different types of bands that are going through downtown right now. It's just fun to watch that it's become a little bit of a hub.
And I'll just plug, June 14th, we have Mason Jennings coming to Broadway Square again for a free concert.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, we'll he's done that before. I'm glad he's coming back.
Yeah, we'll have a great summer and look forward to the burgers all month of June. And thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. And remember to go to Star Wars this weekend. This is the way.
Mando!
Take care, everybody.